Good morning and happy Sabbath. How you feel today? Good? What, if I put from 1 to 10? 10! That's a good score. There is a many reasons why not to feel happy and blessed, yeah? God was good, God is still good. And His goodness will never end. Yeah, just to mention that last week I was attending so-called Muslim conference run by our Australian Union, and 60 of us from every four person from each conference, and plus few people from Papua New Guinea, one from New Zealand. It was a beautiful conference in the Union. Unfortunately, I have to leave early because of the funeral in Warrnambool, and next door neighbor, before I left, she said, "My sister is not well, she's in the hospital. If something happened, would you like to perform a funeral?" I said yes, because whenever we had certain problems in the church, they were coming, and I didn't know that she will be, you know, she will pass away during that short period of time. But I have to say, we had a beautiful conference, understand the Muslim culture, how understand their beliefs, and how to witness to them. You know, we had so much to be learned about that. I have to say to you, I've been in Bosnia where there is a Muslim population, but it's still so much things to be learned. Two main guest speakers were one from General Conference, the mission director, and also another one from England. He's Pakistani. He's from Pakistan, but he works in England, and special his presentations were very well, because he knows what he's talking about, because he's coming from that side, and he understands the Muslims, the beliefs and tips and tricks and many other things. And I think the conference invite him to come maybe the end of the year. Maybe he will organize something similar, because as you know, Australia and Victoria become more and more multicultural, and it's a big percentage of population that's coming from those countries which have a Muslim background and Islam, you know. And also through the media, you know, sometimes media presenting them in very not always the pleasant way, to see everybody who is dressed up differently, who is coming from that side. Sometimes you have some kind of assumptions or prejudice, you know. And it was good. At the end, we have seen how close we are. If there is a religion or religious group who are close to them, then we are as a Seventh-day Adventist. We have so many things in common, comparing with other like Baptist or Jehovah's Witness or with other Christian groups. Because we believe in one God, we are not eating unclean food, including pork. We are not drinking, and we are strongly opposing drinking alcohol. Those things are number one to the Muslims. You know, all other Christians, you know what they believe. You can eat whatever. Be presented, you can drink, not to be drunk, but enough, or something, and many other things. For that reason, you know, we got so many ways which have got open to witness to them. There is a difference, of course. But if you use that opportunity to become a friend and to know them a little bit more, and use some of the, you know, positive approach, like Paul says, with Gentiles I was Gentile, with the Jews I was Jew. Can you be with the Muslims a Muslim? That's right. They are very, very open, very hospitable, very, very, very good heart, I can say. But sometimes we are challenged, you know. We were challenged as well as the listeners. Can I be Muslim to reach the Muslims? How low I can go? How far I can go in order to identify myself with them? So there was one topic, witnessing incarnation, something like that. God has to incarnate Himself to become a human in order to reach us. He made so many steps in order to come on our level. He didn't come as a as an angel, he didn't come as a divine, he came as a human. That's called incarnational ministry. So how we can incarnate, how we can go, how many steps some of us have to go, so many steps, some people maybe not many steps, depends how we see things. Can eat with them, can sit on the floor, you can dress up yourself like them, to be like Jesus, he dressed up like a Jew to identify with us. Sometimes we will be challenged, but I'm just giving you a few things what we study. It's not easy, but you know, but it was challenging. Some topics were really challenging to think, to pray about God and to give us that vision, because it's especially in Australia, if you're living especially in western part of Melbourne, you will be surprised how many neighbors. 70%, 80% in our Gilson College, which is about 700 plus students, 80% are non-Adventist kids there. Not Adventist kids co-attending. Majority of them are coming from the Muslim and Buddhist or something, you know. And it's a great mission. Imagine how many kids, how many parents are behind those kids, you know. Huge! We don't need to go to Afghanistan to witness. We got here in our neighborhood, those people. They came here, you know, in our schools. Even some of them attending with kids and because the principal is taking occasionally certain classes of children to perform certain program in the church, and some parents are joining the kids. They want to see how that they recite, how they sing. You know, there are even some of them coming in our churches. That means that we got great mission field at hand here in our neighborhood. And that was, I think, brought to our attention as well. We have to use those opportunities because those people are children of God. You know that Jacob has 12 tribes. You know this? But Ishmael has 12 tribes as well. We are so much focused on the Jacob's 12 tribes, but forgetting the other kids, children of God as well. Of course, their father was not always obedient, but they're all as well children of God. And also we study how many people outside of the tribe of Israel were blessed by God and led by God. And how God worked miracles through those who were outside of the tribe of Israel, like three of how many wise men. They will come from the east. Always the Bible is quoting the people from the east. Those people from the east are Ishmaelites. Many good people, many, I can say, very spiritual people came from the people of east as well. Which those people are here, Arabic people or Muslims people, people from the east. I just gave you in a nutshell what we study, but it's so much material. Today it's a different topic. Okay, we are studying at the moment in our Sabbath school lesson about glimpses of God. We are studying about God. I thought maybe that's Bible study will be very good because we are still in that, I can say, in that imaginary, in that. In that cycles of studying God. Every Saturday, every week, we are studying God from different perspective or from different glimpse. Like this week, we study God who is a creator and he created everything good, and how we can, as a steward, respond to the creation of God. Not to destroy which sin has already destroyed, but also to protect as much what we can protect, because God created everything for our sake, for our good. Next time we will study another glimpse of God. You know, that's good. But knowing God, you know, talking about God, you can talk, but do we know really God? Is the knowing God, what is necessary to know God, and is it that important for us? What the Bible says about communing with God. Let's open Gospel of John chapter 17. We are going to have several texts from the Bible this morning. It's more like Bible study than typical sermon. John 17:3. You familiar with that verse? It's a very good one from John 17. It's a prayer, intercessory prayer. Jesus prayed before he was arrested and crucified. He prayed to his Heavenly Father for unity, for understanding of his mission and everything. And he said in John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Is it important? Is it of great importance to know God? Why? Because this is eternal life. Eternal life depends on the knowing God. I'm not talking just about intellectual knowing, knowledge. Because you will know many intellectually things. You know where is on the map, like Colombia, but you have no clue what the life in Colombia, how that life exists, what kind of challenges those people are facing there, and many others. You can know intellectually, you can read from the paper. But the Bible speaks about knowing God. It's not just intellectually knowing who God is or having more information about Him. Like, you know, the many atheists know many things about Jesus. They know when Jesus was born, that Mary and Joseph, they know all the facts about Jesus. But that's so far from Jesus. Sometimes can happen to us if we are just relying on the logical or knowledge what we have about God. If we don't have a personal experience with God that we can see God. It's according to Jesus, knowing God, it's crucial. This is eternal life, that they may know you. Jesus prayed to His Father for His disciples and to us as well, that it's very important for us to know who God is and how God looks like in our personal life as well. Okay, what is necessary to know God? In order to know God better, there is a few things it's very important to know. First, commitment or desire to know God. If you knowing about God is a necessary precondition of trusting in Him. In order to know God personally, that means you have to trust Him. You know, to open up yourself to somebody, to your friend, you have to know a little bit, to have a trust in Him. But how you can have trust if you don't know Him enough or her enough? That comes like a cycle. In order to know God, we have to be ready to commit ourselves to Him or to have a desire, reading about God, trusting Him and applying His truth to your life. It's very important. Also, friendship is very important. You know, just before this, a simple Bible reader who is full of the Holy Spirit will develop a far deeper acquaintance with God, with His God and Savior, than a more learned scholar who is content with being theologically correct. You don't need to know all the figures. You don't need to know all the Hebrew words about God in order to ever to know God. It's good if you can. You know, if you quote encyclopedia, dictionary, you can learn and you can recite English or Hebrew words. It's good. You can be enriched, of course. But it's not. That doesn't mean that you will know more about God. Theoretically, yes. But personally, it's not sure. The simple Bible reader who is open to the dwelling of the Holy Spirit, he will develop a far deeper acquaintance with his God and Savior. The second point, friendship. In Psalm 34:8, David says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." You know, how you will know how the goodness of God, you haven't experienced that goodness. You know, when I cook meal, I try to taste the saltness, how sour, what. My wife, she doesn't like tasting. Maybe she's more experienced and she knows enough what is there. But I like to taste. Maybe I'm doubtful. Thomas a little bit more, I will. But we're all different. But the Bible says, Psalm says, taste your God. You know, even in Malachi says, you know, come and reason with me, God says, you know. In Isaiah, that means God is not care about, sometimes you can questioning things or not arguing with Him. But, you know, Lord, I want to be sure, you know. Lord, let help me. Or Lord, I would like to, you know, converse with Him somehow. Invite Him to see that He is alive. That will help you to develop that friendship with God. However, through a person's thought of God, maybe he does not know the God of whom he is thinking until he has personally experienced friendship with God. We got so many in the Bible who experience God, like Abraham and men, through their friendship. They become friends of God. And also in invitation, responding to God's seeking us. We do not make friends with God. God makes friends with us, bringing us to know Him by making His love known to us. We are just responding to His invitation. When Adam and Eve commit a sin, who was the first person who wanted to, who made the first step? Jesus came. God made. He started calling, Adam, where are you? Adam was hiding. That's how we react. In order to, you know, to become friends, God takes initiatives always. He sent Jesus Christ. God was searching for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Through the whole 6,000 years, God is searching for the people, for the lost. Jesus says, Son of Man came to find and save those who are lost. If He waited for us to ask Him or to run to Him, He was still waiting, because unfortunately the devil made this earthly life very, very pleasurable. And if it's not by grace of God, it will be still far from His presence. For that reason, it's good to have that desire to be to commit yourself to the Lord Jesus, and God will lead us step by step in knowing God. Also, taste God. When tasting, that means experiencing His goodness, you will develop friendship. The trust will grow, and God is inviting us. He is making the first step. We are just responding to His invitation, and how we are getting into knowing Him more and more. Okay, how can we know God? I put several texts here. Let's read. I will give you opportunity to most of you to read. Okay, Romans 10:14. If somebody is okay, I'll put all the texts and one by one we can read. Okay. Sorry. Okay. I'll put all. If everyone can find certain texts. Okay. Romans 10:14. Let's see the hands who find, who is willing to read Romans 10. Yes, right. Thank you very much. What Paul want to say to us? How can we know God? You must know who God is before you can know Him. In other words, Paul says, how people will believe in God if somebody haven't taught them? You have to hear. You have to have information about God in order then you can know Him. Very important. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, 6.
Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Thank you, Peter. Yes. You know, God is awesome God. He created the whole universe. His ways sometimes we can't comprehend. His wisdom is huge. Who can understand the wisdom of God? But, you know, but if we seek Him, He will be found. He is great God, but if we will find Him, we will know Him. Doesn't matter how big He is, how huge He is, how wisdom is great, but Bible says, you know, if you seek Him, He will reveal to you. You will find Him. You will experience Him. He is not too far to those who are sincere and honest seekers. Many people are scared of God. Said, how I can know God who is a spirit? But you will find God in your personal life if you seek Him. You have that desire. Very important. In Jeremiah 1:5.
Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet to the nations.
Thank you very much, Paul. How we can know God? Because He created us. You know, He formed us. He made us. We can know God because He made us, according to Jeremiah. He knows you even before you were born. That's another way how we can find God. Psalm 34:8-9. I think I quoted earlier this, but let's go and read those two texts. Psalm 34.
For grace and speed in the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him.
Mm-hmm.
For fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear.
Thank you. We can know God by tasting His goodness, according to David. How can we know God? By tasting His goodness. Experience real the character of God. Allowing Him to be involved in our daily life. You know, why we don't have many sometimes experience with God? Because not because it's far from us, He is here. But He's waiting to be invited in our life. Sometimes we don't have much trust in Him, giving Him opportunity to work in our daily activities. Sometimes some people say, God is too holy to be invited, you know. I'm too sinful to be invited. But God wants to be involved in every segment in our life. We have to have that freedom to share good and bad things with God, because He's always on our side. Taste God. Beautiful text. I remember as a child that text, how much meaning was in my life as well. Psalm 46:10. How we can find God, where we can find God as well, or know God. Psalm 46:10. Thank you very much. God, know God by seeking Him in stillness. We have to move sometimes far from the noise and daily routines and be still. Be in the position when we can experience God. We can find God in stillness. God will speak us in a way like never before. That's another way. Gospel of John, chapter 14, that's another. How can we know God? Jesus responded to that question in Gospel of John, chapter 14, 6 and 9. Thank you, Katie. How can we know God? When we know Jesus, we know the God the Father as well. Jesus was the perfect revelation of the character of God. We will later on we will go to that scripture again. John 10:27. Another text from the Gospel of John. Beautiful verses there. 10:27. Thank you, Bill. Thank you. We know God by obeying His commandments or obeying His voice or following His will. That's how we can know God, by following His commandments and following His voice. Just one more text, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 10 to 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 10 to 12. Okay, I'll read this. By God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. In other words, what Paul wants to say, how we can know more about God? Through whom? Through the Holy Spirit. Through Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, one of the roles is to reveal God as well. Jesus Christ was the most perfect, but also to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit helps us understand deep things about God. It's very important. You know, God wants to be experienced. God wants to be to be involved in every single part of our life as well. Feed food for the hungry soul. How God's Word fills us with good things of God. You know, our heart, our inner being has to be open for God's presence. Like David says, I'm thirsty. I think Psalm 20, 42. You know, he expressing his thirst for the presence of God. And our hunger has to be for the spiritual food. What is the spiritual food according to the Bible? Just I quoted one lecturer, he said, to know God you must know about Him, which involves studying the Word of God. The Word of God is food for the hungry soul. Nothing can replace that spiritual food. Is the Word of God. We just sang a song, give me the Bible, give me the Bible. The Bible is the Word. It's a spiritual food for the hungry soul. Many people are trying to feed their hungry souls with many other worldly things. And Isaiah in chapter 55:1, he said, why are you spending so much money of the food which it's not making you more hungry, more thirsty? Come to me. That's the Word of God. It's very important. What the Word of God does? The Word of God enlarges the soul by tuning into the greatness of God. Focusing on the greatness of God enlarges the soul. When you think about God and greatness, you know, we become greater. We have a greater vision about God. We are somehow challenged to understand greater things, which ordinary people who are not feeding themselves with the Word of God on a daily basis are limited. That's one of the reasons sometimes you can't have a same dialogue with certain Christians, because it's a limited, have a limited picture of God. What the Word of God does? It humbles the sinner and exalts the Savior. Focusing, it makes you a great person by making you a smaller person. It seems contradictory, but it's not. It makes you a great person by making you a smaller person. Like Paul says, or God says, in your weaknesses, it's my strength. It seems opposite, but we know what Paul means about Jesus. When Jesus approached John the Baptist, he said, it's my time to go to be humble, to go low, in order other person to be uplifted. That's how we have to go down, in order the greatest of God will come above. But unless we are fed with the Spirit, with the Word of God, we can't otherwise experience that transformation. What the Word of God does? It produces Christians of larger stature. You know, you're growing in your experience. You're still humble. You're more simple. Like a child. Jesus says, if nobody can enter the kingdom if it's not like a child. That means simple, honest, sometimes we can say naive, not in naive in negative way, but open heart, trustworthy person, sincere in the thoughts, in motion, in the motives, but produce Christian who is a larger stature, that one who simply knows orthodoxy and is prepared to recite it on demand. That means somebody who knows God in the practical way. It challenges the ideas of culture regarding happiness as well. Anything that enlarges my comfort zone is regarded as good, godly, and to be integrated in my belief. If we don't put God first, to say that Christianity is the secret of happiness is dangerous. People who get into the Christian life without even being challenged to repent of their egocentricity are at best likely to remain stunned Christians. Challenges ideas of culture regarding happiness, that transformation can come only when we allow the word of God come practically in our life. It calls us to deny self and to exalt God. Otherwise, it's coming opposite. People are exalting themselves. Who is God? You know? They're putting God down. But the Bible changed our values in exalting God and called us to deny ourselves. How the Word of God feeds the hungry soul. You know, when we read the Bible, some people are very complicated book. Some of them have a misunderstanding of the Bible, you know. The Bible is, you have to go deeper. Not one subject is given in one chapter. You have to go collect many things. You know, you need the wisdom. You need inspiration by God. The Bible offers the raw material, the makings of a meal. Like the Sabbath school lesson, you know, everybody prepare. If I was here this morning prepare the lesson, maybe I will prepare slightly different than Paul. If Peter was, maybe he will slightly different. The same Bible, I can the same lesson, but the same recipe, but at the end, the meal, it's slightly different. Somebody put a little bit more sin, somebody more cane paper, somebody more maybe salt, somebody some other flavor. How the message is given, and to feed everyone to grow spiritually. Those who teach and preach are like cooks who must shape the meal. That's a responsibility for the minister, for the pastor, for the elder, whoever takes a stand here and preach, because he has to put things together and to pray for God to organize the thoughts. Sometimes we can have a slightly different approach. Why we have a four gospels, not one? If one was good, if John was good, the best one, why we need Luke and Mark and Matthew? May God allow to have a Matthew. Sometimes you can have a Matthew, sometimes you can have a John approach, sometimes you can have a Nick approach, or Y approach. You can have different approaches, but the goal is the same. The body of Christ to grow, to reach the height of Jesus Christ. The result is good food that provides meat for the soul, nourishment for the soul. The Word of God gives significance to life. God is more important than we are. Do you agree with that? We are God's creation. We got value, but God is number one. The future life is more important than this one. Do you agree about that? Doesn't mean that we have to neglect this life. Doesn't mean that we have to cut off our lives. So no, this is not intention. But we have to know we are here for the short time, for the preparation of something much beautiful, much better. The Word of God gives that different meaning of life. If we are hungry and thirsty for the Word, we can know God, we can understand God and His thoughts, His principles, His direction. We are growing in His understanding of His ways. We can't understand maybe everyone, because Ellen White says we can study in the heaven many laws, many things. But everything what is necessary for me today, God will reveal us. The future life that is more important than this one. Happiness is the promise for heaven. Not always then we are going to be happy here. Sometimes struggle comes. The thorns are here, you know. I believe Paul was not always happy when the thorn, he has to preach with the thorn. But this is, he prayed three times, and God says, no. And he was satisfied. Sometimes you pray, but God says, you need sometimes thorn. We don't know always why, but God knows. But the full happiness will be in the heaven. That's our final destination. Holiness is the priority in this world. It's very important as well. Nothing in this world is perfect or complete, because the damage of sin destroyed the original. But totally perfect and complete will be when God is going to recreate or create new heaven and new earth. Four truths, but just briefly. I don't want to keep it too long. Quiet time with God. 1 Kings 18:42. If somebody can read 1 Kings 18:42 and another John 15:4. Yes, Peter?
So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees.
Okay, you know the story about Ahab and Elijah, and after that the fire came, you know, was still drought. Elijah going it, you know, but he, when Elijah went, he was praying. He find a time to pray. He said that expression, what was the word, 42, he put his face between his knees. He bowed down on the ground. That was custom, in Eastern custom. When they pray to God, they were laying, you know, the Muslims get right. Just one comparison about how they pray. That was the custom of the Abraham and the whole Old Testament people. They lay down, they bow down. They take the shoes. They are taking shoes and going to the mosque. I'm just saying that when you see, that's a very much biblical things. That means that they are not so strange about it. I'm just saying, Elijah was like all prophets, like many of them who are doing. John 15:4. Yes, abide. First, Elijah has a time in intimate time with God. He prayed. And also Jesus says, abide with me, be united with me. That means we can't be united unless we withdraw sometimes and have an intimate time with God. But sometimes we are under pressure because the life circle is so rich with activities, and sometimes there is a fortress to quiet time. Just as a threat to intimacy with God, loss of concentration. It's happening, the loss of concentration. Prayer is our most effective giant killer to all kinds of concentration breakers. After that, preparation, planning, and the pad and pencil can serve as a... You know, many things are happening when we have to concentrate on God, but we have to prepare mentally when we are having a quiet time with God. Antidote, prayer, preparation and planning. When you have to focus on the Word of God, or it's good to have a certain preparation. To have a even question, put a pen, or some people when they're studying the Word of God have a little bit a notebook and putting the mind important thoughts to be focused, and to see application as well. Some of them, how can we apply the word that help us not to lose concentrations when we have a quiet time with God. Also, loss of feeling. Some people, you know, they're coming to the churches and say, I don't feel sense of God's presence, and then don't know why. Because many Christians today rely on their feelings. But feelings are good, but we can't rely always on the feelings. Allow feelings to dictate. Some people allow feelings to dictate when to worship and whether we sense God's presence. We are created of feelings, but they are not a measure always about God's presence. Antidote, read portion of scripture as if we wrote them. You know, in order to have that quiet time with God, read even some memorizing. Have you heard, you know, in Melbourne, Gateway Church, I think they developed that K groups when they are memorizing the scriptures. And they are each other, they are calling every day and, you know, just looking after each other. I'll call like Peter and he will recite that word, I will recite to him, just encouraging each other. You know, that keeping us focused, keep us in focus on the Word of God. Or to keep that intimacy with God. Threats to intimacy with God, it can be lack of discipline. Some of us have a good desire, but we are not so disciplined. Very easy, we fell asleep. Somebody says, why whenever I open the Bible in my bed, I fell asleep? I said, maybe you have to choose a place. The bed is not good. For some is, but some it's better to go outside in the fresh air or go in your room or find, if that's it, it's challenging place, you know. Lack of discipline. Fuzzy priorities keep us from doing what's most important as well. If you know, have you experienced that? I'll read the Bible later, and later something telephone rang or something. Later, or in the evening, and evening something, I don't know what's happened, and the day gone by, and another one, and another one. If we are not disciplined enough, easy to lose routine, and also ask what we really want in life and what's needed to get there, and lack of practice fails to see time with God as an expression of a love friendship. Learn to do God's word over the long haul. Okay, finding time for God, time for God. Psalm 16:11. If somebody can read, Psalm 16:11. Thank you. David says, in your presence is fullness of joy. Whenever we are in the presence of God, whenever we set aside time and place for the Lord, it's a fullness of joy. Time for God. Just put here, he says, oh God, you are not busy. Wife, she thought he's not busy, but he was busy. He was talking with God. He was talking with God. You know, I know some people who are having appointment with God on a regular basis. That's a holy time. And they are saying to the mom, to the father, to the rest of the family, don't interrupt me, I've got appointment with God. From 8 to 9, from 7 to, or from 6, whatever. You know, we got all appointments, Ada, and we are very strictly to be on time when we have visitee, when we go into the solicitor, when we go there. It's good, but sometimes we think we can go to God and we can neglect appointments easily. When was your last appointment with God? Have you pencil in your diary? Like father, like son. We quoted certain, you know, to find God, look at his son Jesus. You know that story? John 14:5-11 is the story between Jesus and Philip. Philip came to Jesus and asked him question, show me your father. And what was the answer of Jesus? How Jesus replied? I've been so long. 3.5 years. You haven't seen my father? To find God, look at his son Jesus Christ. He's the perfect revelation of God. Go to read the Gospels. You'll see the beauty. You'll see the character of God. You'll see the grace of God. You will taste the goodness of God. How Jesus reveals God? Like the Word. He is the expression of God's thought. John 1:1, you know the text? In the beginning was Word, and Word with God, and the Word was God. Like the Word, Jesus is the expression of God's thought. He revealed God in a very perfect way. Jesus is a perfect revelation of God. Like a wax impression of a seal. He is the image of God. Hebrews 1:3. Somebody can read that. Hebrews 1:3. Giving you a little bit extra reading this morning. Not always like that, but Thank you. It's a beautiful expression. He said, his glory and express image of his person. Image. He's the image of God. Like the rays of the sun. He's the brightness of God's glory. The same verse. He's the brightness of his glory. Jesus revealed God. How Jesus also revealed God? In disfigurement, you know, God suffer for our sake. Isaiah 52:14, you know the text speaks about Jesus. The face that reveals God's glory is spat upon and disfigured by the malice of the people. In 52, you know, and in humiliation as well, Jesus revealed God. God's glory includes His willingness to humble Himself for our sake. In supplying our needs as well. A complete connection? Are you concentrating or just pretending? It's just as illustration, when we focus on the Word of God or when we worship God, are you concentrating or just pretending? From solitude to service. Three stages of meeting God. Okay. Find God is solitude. God teaches us that we listen to Him in solitude. It's very important. We can meet God, we can find God where we are far from everybody, in solitude. It's good to have that quiet time with God. I remember when I studied in theology in Croatia, every morning, and we wake up 6 o'clock, 6:30 was all preparation, it was, I said, quiet time. For 20 minutes, we had quiet time. Everybody was breathing, praying, you know, quiet. God, find God in solitude. We need that space and we can face ourselves, sort out our thoughts, focus on Jesus, and thinking about and experience God, inviting Him in our daily life, in day to day. We listen to Him in solitude. We can find God. For that reason, many people in the past took that very seriously. Some people, they become monks. They move from the cities, from the families, they isolated themselves in the monasteries. This is one way, but it's not always the perfect way. There is other ways how we can meet God, as well. We can find God. Because in solitude we find the place out of which to live. In solitude is where spiritual ministry begins. When we are making commitment, when we are promising ourselves, we are focusing. Solitude is a refuge, what we can come back to. We deal with success or failure better because our identity is rooted in God. This is how we can find God in the solitude. But there is other places we can find God as well. Find God in community. Community is where you gather with others to proclaim that you are sons and daughters of God. Also, when you fellowship with others, you can find God. You can experience the goodness of God as well. By listening to the stories, how God works in certain individuals' lives. You are blessed and you see the glory of God. Because God not only works in your life, He works in many different ways through, you know, in other people's lives. That's why we're reading the Bible. We'll see how God blessed three young people in the Babylon, you know. We see how Joseph was blessed. And by these experiences, we see God. We have a bigger picture of God. We are finding God through many others as well. Community says, I'm beloved, you are beloved, together we build a home. That means we can work together for the good things. We find God in community. In community we create space for God and the children of God. In community as well help to see, to understand God. Find God in ministry. In the eyes of God, good times and bad go together. Where there is a pain, there is a healing. Where there is a mourning, there is a dancing. In other words, it's joy. In other words, find God in ministry. When you're ministering to others, you experience God. Jesus is with us in times of rejoicing as well as in pain, sickness, mourning, or weaknesses. You know, when we minister to others, we find God as well. We invite it when we heal, when we pray, when we minister, visiting needy, helping needy, going to the, you know, to the big sick people. We are in ministry, we see God as well. Gratitude to God sends us to others in pain so we can show compassion to them. Like Jesus, He showed compassion and He was ministering to God and also experienced the love of God in His life as well. Okay, final thoughts would like to say, what issues do you face regarding knowing God? Are you satisfied with the knowledge of God? Have you tasted God in your life? Did you give opportunity to God to intervene or to be present in your life? Have you tasted? One of the reasons why the young generation today, they don't have much passion for God, because they haven't tasted the goodness of God. They haven't been maybe in position, because everything is nice and good. You know, mom paid the bills, so I can go there, no pressure on the school, with the friends. Sometimes they haven't experienced the goodness of God. How the time will change. But it's good to have opportunity to taste the goodness of the God is alive. It's not just theory. He's real. What three things have you learned from this presentation about knowing God? Maybe you learned something. I don't know. And how you can implement these principles in the practical way. I just want to encourage you to have a time for God. Living on the busy planet, it doesn't matter you are retired or not. We all somehow busy. May God always remind us to have a special place for Him. At home, at school, a workplace. Because, you know, how we can present to other people God if we haven't tasted the goodness, we haven't experienced God in our life. By giving Him, inviting Him more in our life, we can increase our knowledge about God, not just logically, theoretically, but we can our love for God will increase as well, and our passion for Him and for the people outside of us as well. May God bless you all. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Sabbath, the opportunity to come and worship you in a special way. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us how important you is to know you, to know you personally, because Lord, you are so great, you are amazing God. You have shown your love to us in many ways, special by giving your Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. Lord, we have to admit that sometimes we are running so much in our daily life, doing all kind of things, but sometimes we are not paying attention the way how we should be to have more time, more communion with you in our life. We ask you for the forgiveness. Thank you for not giving up on us, as you've done in the Garden of Eden. You were searching for Adam and Eve. You are still searching for every one of us on this planet in order to repent, to come to you, to accept you as a Savior, and to follow you and to be with you in your kingdom. Bless us, Lord, and help us to be reminded how great you are, how loving God is you are, to set aside time and to renew our commitments to you and to follow you. Bless us, and bless those who are not able to come this morning. May they feel special blessings in their hearts by you as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.